Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to this Holy Half Hour, here on 3TFM, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Thanks for your company. You know how people come back from their holidays and like to bore other people to death with their photographs and their stories about their holidays? Well, I'm no exception. But the trip I was on really is exceptional. It's worth your listening to in the next few minutes. I know they all say that, but really. My wife Patricia and I went to Tallinn, the capital of Estonia. Estonia is one of three adjacent small countries on the Baltic Sea, Latvia, Lithuania and Estonia. It used to be under the Soviet Union, the USSR, until 1991. On January the 1st, 2011, it joined the European Union and is part of the Eurozone, using the euro as currency. So we were privileged to be part of the first wave of tourists to the country since they joined the EU. Estonia today is very forward-looking. They've had an unhappy past, invaded by all their neighbours at some time or other. They've been invaded by Russia, Germany, Poland, Sweden, even Denmark. The word Tallinn actually comes from Tani Lin, a Danish word meaning Danish town. Having just escaped the yoke of communist Russia, they want to go forward as an independent, modern, forward-looking people. They believe that they'll have a more peaceful and prosperous future as part of the EU. They just love Western clothes and gadgets, and they're very much into fashion, Western fashion, that is. There are many new state-of-the-art shopping malls selling all the famous brand names and designer labels. New is good. Change is what they seek. Maybe our nation is too trapped in I-beams in the past and in our history. But in their headlong rush to be like us, I wanted to say to them on a few occasions, don't follow us, we are lost. Follow Jesus. Anyway, here's some Estonian-style music to set the scene.
Thank you.
In the course of our week-long stay in Tallinn, the capital of Estonia, we visited the Occupation Museum, which recalled that in 1939 the Russians invaded Estonia. Fascist Germany and Communist Russia hated each other, but they made an unholy alliance called the Ribbentrop-Molotov Agreement, named after their two foreign ministers, by which they divided up Europe between themselves. Estonia was to belong to Russia. But being a pact between cheats, the Germans went back on their word and invaded Estonia themselves in 1941, ousting the Russians. In 1944, the Russians seized Estonia back and kept it till the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991. Some Estonians had supported the Germans resisting Russian communism, and some Estonians had supported the Russians resisting German fascism. No one was allowed to be neutral. Everyone ended up suffering, especially those who were on the wrong side at the wrong moment. Shakespeare said that there is a tide in the affairs of men, and we have to wisely catch the turn of the tide and ride the waves. Estonia knows that better than most countries. It has bobbed about in the swirling currents of history with all its ebbs and flows and tide turning. I think all of us can identify with that feeling of being a cork bobbing about in the swirling seas of life. Here's Michael Ball to sing about it. One thing I noticed very quickly was the fact that the people on the streets in Tallinn in Estonia seemed to be quite attractive, more so than your average street in Britain. Why was that, I wondered. Then I noticed hardly anybody was obese. Nearly everybody was reasonably slim. There's also an incredible number of young people going about the city. The average age of the world is 25 years old. Britain is exceptional in that we have so many pensioners. Cities generally have more young people than rural areas. As a nation, Estonians are much poorer than we in Britain. On average, they earn less than half of the British average wage, so they cannot afford to eat and drink all the wrong stuff which our nation indulges in. They also had even greater austerity under the Soviet Union. Once they get richer, they will soon have all our obesity, heart disease and other problems. Incidentally, we never saw a policeman until our second last day, and that was in the town centre of the capital city. Another thing which caught our eye was what we called Estonian speed. Both cars and pedestrians always seemed to be going at a steady and uniform pace. In our country, there's always someone running along the pavement in a rush, overtaking everybody else. On our roads, we have road hogs up your back, or on the other hand, tractors and old cars with old men in bonnets, like tortoises holding everybody up, but not so in Tallinn. Everyone on the pavement and every car on the road seemed to be going the exact same pace as the ones in front or behind. In a whole week in the capital city, I only saw one pedestrian running, myself. Not even mad dogs and Englishmen joined me in the midday sun. Estonian speed was not as slow as it first appeared, though. In fact, they were quite efficient. The interesting thing was the uniformity of the speed. Maybe it's a throwback to the uniformity of Soviet times. They didn't like to stand out from the crowd in case the secret police were watching. Who knows? Closely akin to this is the observation that everybody seemed to be very quiet and calm about everything. There was no boot bumping, no traffic light jumping, no honking of car horns. We spent a week in the capital city and can only remember hearing a car toot its horn on one occasion. What other city in the world could you say that of? Some of the traffic calming can be explained by the fact that there are exceedingly high fines for speeding and other traffic offences, but there's more to it than that. Everyone seemed to be very friendly and helpful, and to be very keeled in their temperaments. We heard no squealing kids or nagging mothers. There was never a rush at the checkout in the supermarket. People just got on with their business quietly, but efficiently and purposefully. Some of what I'm saying may be explained further by the fact that Estonia is thinly populated. It has only 1.3 million people. Tallinn has only 400,000 people. Less people partly explains the total absence of any rush hour. Speaking about rushing or not, here's Kenny Rogers.
It's a hustle, everyday struggle, pushing your way to the top. Gotta keep it on track and never look back. And no, you don't dare stop. There's someone behind you, keeping an eye on you, hoping you take a fall. My lady, she'd like to see me more, but I can't slow down at all. She says, whoa, you need some time alone. I said, no.
By the way, these observations come from the fact that we were well placed to make such observations. We came with the fresh eyes of first-time tourists, but also our hotel room was right in the centre of Tallinn and on the 23rd floor up. The hotel building is the highest in the whole country. We had a huge window with panoramic views. We could see as far as the eye could see. You can imagine we sat there transfixed, endlessly fascinated by the godlike view. When we arrived, we were given a room on the 16th floor, but we asked if we could get a room even higher than that. The receptionist was very helpful and gave us the 23rd floor. What was in my thinking was a true story which has changed my outlook on life ever since hearing it. A group of tourists went to visit the famous Empire State Building in New York. They went up the elevator, got off, walked across the landing and looked out of the magnificent New York view. They oohed and aahed for a while and then turned round and went back down the lift. They were fully satisfied and delighted with what they'd seen, but unknown to them, they'd got out of the lift at the 10th floor. They could have gone all the way up to the 92nd floor and had a much more magnificent panoramic view of New York. It's not that they were not satisfied, just that they had missed out on an even higher experience. How often do we settle for second best? How often are we settling for second best without even realising it's second best? Reach higher, just on principle. The 16th room was a wonderful room and a 5-star hotel. The view was awe-inspiring, but even so, why not ask for the 23rd floor? It's better. By the way, I nearly fell off my hotel room chair when I noticed a tiny insect on the window. What's special about that, you may say? Well, it wasn't on the inside. This room was immaculate. No, it was on the outside, 23 floors up. How did that tiny little creature scale that relatively infinite height? Then I noticed it had several pals with it. Did they rise on thermals of air? Did they fly all the way up? Was it something to do with the air conditioning of the building? Anyway, you couldn't fault them for their bravery and their sheer effort and the height of their ambition. They were determined to be high flyers. We're always getting surprised at how high Jesus and others can raise us up. Here's Secret Garden.
When I am down and all my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk. Thank you. to more than I can be.
Every day, my wife and I walked around Tallinn's old town with its medieval town walls and old buildings, all in amazingly good repair. Tallinn's entire old town has been one of UNESCO's World Cultural Heritage Sites since 1997. We went up and down towers and along ramparts. We visited the market square and the old town hall. We explored old houses and old churches, all of which are in continual use today. We enjoyed organ recitals and historic surroundings, the Guildhall and its Museum of Estonian History, the Nigelist Museum of Estonian Art, with its world-famous 15th-century painting, The Dance of Death, by Bernd Notke, and the Occupation Museum commemorating Estonia's occupation by Russia in 1939 and Germany in 1941, and then Russia again 1944 to 1991. The Alexander Nevsky Russian Orthodox Cathedral, built in 1900, was very impressive, and we saw the Dome Church, which is Estonia's Lutheran cathedral. St. Olaf's Church was for a long time in the Middle Ages the tallest building in the world. Speaking of churches, Patricia and I ended up doing a church crawl on the Sunday. You know what a pub crawl is, going from pub to pub in quick succession. Well, we did the same with the churches. We did four churches within an hour. 10:45 a.m. in a Russian Orthodox church service, 11:15 a.m. in a Roman Catholic cathedral's mass, 11:30 a.m. in a Lutheran church service, and 11:45, the end of a Lutheran service and the start of a Baptist service within the Lutheran church building. Not content with four revs per hour, we also visited an Estonian Orthodox church, all before lunch. Even at lunch in a cafe, we watched a DVD of another kind of worship service, a Whitney Houston pop video. Surely all that church going is a busman's holiday for a minister. It's good to see the world church anyway. So here's Tom Ingalls singing We're All One Body.
As you look around you, you will see people from different nations and different cultures and backgrounds. And yet we've all come together for one purpose, and that is to worship. And as we worship together, our differences seem to disappear, and we really do become one body in Christ.
You're listening to 3TFM with me, Alec Noble, telling you all about my holiday in Estonia. One thing that impressed me was the language skills of the Estonian people, especially the younger people. Even the supermarket shelf stacker spoke several languages. I spoke to one who could speak three languages, Estonian, Russian and English. In fact, the staff wore small badges to let you know which languages they spoke. At school, they have to learn at least two other languages besides their own Estonian. Estonians are also very keen on singing. About 40,000 people out of their small population sing in choirs. Ever since 1869, they have held the All-Estonian National Song Festival every 5 years. There was one in 2010. Up to 20,000 singers take part in it. Note, not 20,000 spectators, 20,000 singers. There are about 100,000 spectators. We discovered a similar thing happens in Latvia. Estonians sang their way to revolution and independence in 1988 and 1989, when the Berlin Wall came down and the Soviet Union collapsed. They frequently gathered at the site of the national song festivals to listen and to speak and to sing. I must tell you about one very special moment during our holiday. We were in the main tourist site and we saw a procession of Hare Krishna followers bedecked in their traditional orange saffron robes coming down the street. In fact, we heard them before we saw them. They were chanting Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna in an endless, monotonous, dirge-like grating way. As we stood gazing at them pass by, they were met by another group marching down the street, also chanting and wailing in a dirge-like manner, and similarly uniformly clad in their uniforms of green and white hooped shirts. They were football fans, supporters of Shamrock Rovers, the Irish team, who were due to play Tallinn FC the following evening. Some of the supporters had been on our Ryanair flight to Tallinn, and they'd been in boisterous spirits even then. We and the other tourists stood back and smiled as we saw the two groups pass each other, smiling and waving. And we couldn't help but think of the great similarity between both the disparate groups. Both were processing to display their loyalty and devotion. Both were chanting the name of their deity. Both were trying to attract attention and saw that what they were doing is a sort of mission exercise. Both wore uniforms. Both groups couldn't sing. Both had skinheads, both had brought their wives and children, whom they were bringing up in the faith. Both were waving to people and wanting a response, and both were failing in that respect. People backed off. But they succeeded in arousing certain thoughts in the spectators, like, what was all that about? And what a weird bunch, followed by, let's move over to the other side of the street, away from that lot. I was prompted to further reflect. Isn't that the story of our lives individually as families and as congregations? We pass by in a fleeting moment. People take notice just for a second, but we may or may not make a lasting impression on our onlookers. These two short tunes are dedicated to those two groups.
My sweet Lord, my Lord, my Lord, I really want to see you, really want to be with you, really want to see you, Lord, but it takes so long, my Lord. My sweet Lord, my Lord, my Lord, I really wanna know you, really wanna go with you, really wanna show you, Lord, that it won't take long, my Lord, my sweet Lord.
I had another interesting experience in the Dome Church in the old town of Tallinn. This church began in 1233 as a Roman Catholic cathedral until the Reformation 300 years later. Now, for the past 400 years, it's been Estonia's Lutheran Cathedral. I went there to enjoy a free organ recital. The church was quite full of people, not to worship God, but to hear an organ recital. A free organ recital. In the cool, when outside it was a sweltering 30 degrees centigrade, and it was a place to sit down for all those hard-pressed trekking tourists out in the burning sun. The church was taken over by tourists, to the annoyance of some of the church stalwarts. The irreverent tourists arrived late, fidgeted about, took photographs against the rules, and left early. All those listening had to just sit and listen without seeing the organ or the organist because they were tucked away upstairs at the back of the balcony. So all the listeners could do was to sit and look around at the decor of the building. The two most prominent features, the centrepieces, were a wooden carving of Jesus on the cross and a huge painting of Jesus on the cross lowered down at the front. There was no way that anyone could fail to notice these two prominent, dominant works of art. As the artists intended, the crowds were forced to watch Jesus on the cross for half an hour. They had to look on in silence without talking. They had to look on with loud, dramatic church organ music playing. But I wondered as I watched them, are you really seeing what you're looking at? Are you seeing Jesus dying on the cross for you? Was the living Jesus successfully opening their eyes even at that moment as they watched? Was he encountering them and getting through to them? I confess I had my doubts. As a minister, I really had a strong urge to preach at that moment as I sat in my church pew. Jesus was heard to say on several occasions, "You have eyes to see, but you don't see. You have ears to hear, but you don't hear." He was quoting Isaiah the prophet. If you have eyes and ears, do you see and hear what I'm seeing now? This is the Doncaster Wheatsheaf Girls' Choir. Were you there?
Oh.
Here's one last thought, a lesson I learned at the end of my holiday. The fact that we can give God a gift, the God who is everything, what can we give him? Well, you know how when a toddler wants to buy mum or dad a birthday present and they use mum or dad's pocket money to buy that birthday present, mum and dad are appreciative, most of all, of the thought that the toddler put into what they got. God gives us raw materials and we do what we want with them, and then God's appreciative of the gift we then give him. So basically what I'm trying to say is, I'm very grateful to God for giving me the opportunity to go to Estonia. My wife Patricia and I had a wonderful holiday and we thank God for it. And the reason we've shared it with you is that's what we can give back to God. We can enrich God's people, you yourself the listener, and share our experiences. And then maybe you too can be inspired to experience it yourself. I do recommend going to Estonia. It's a cheap, easy flight from Scotland to there, 2 hours, and you'll have all these adventures like we had. Well, our holy half hour's up now, must go. So bye for now, and I'll leave you with some more Estonian-type music to finish.